and welcome to the Astor Economic Week in Review. My name is John Eckstein. I'm the Chief Investment Officer of Astor Investment Management. I'm joined today by my friend and colleague, Nick Porter. Today, we are going to talk about mainly about inflation, a little bit about the Fed's reaction to inflation, maybe a few labor market points as well. But before we start that, I'm going to say my summary of the economy is that maybe momentum is growing a little bit in the labor market. It's hard to tell exactly. We're adding almost 600,000 jobs a month the last several months. And at that pace, it'll take us a while to get back to where we were, 18 months or so maybe. Before we jump into the details, I want to talk about the economy in a nutshell. I see mainly the economy as growing, not booming spectacularly in terms of the labor market. The rest of the economy seems to be doing quite well. The labor market seems to be growing at about 550,000 jobs a month. We'll need to increase that if we want to get back to our previous level of employment in a decent time frame. How does that sit with your summary of the economy, Nick?
Yeah, I think that's broadly accurate. The labor market certainly has a good amount of slack, and we'd like to see it come along a little bit further, particularly relative to some of the price pressures and shortages that we've seen in the United States that really indicate strong underlying demand.
Yeah, I think there is decent demand, but the demand is not quite where we expected, as you can tell by the inflation numbers. You want to run down the inflation highlights?
Sure. So the year-on-year change in CPI was 5.4%, certainly exceeded consensus estimates and was above last month's of 5%. Core inflation, meanwhile, was up 0.9%. And I think in aggregate, this number was a little bit surprising to people who were expecting to see disinflation or slowing in the pace of inflation. But the story remains more or less the same, despite the hot print, in that we've seen most of the increase really in these shutdown related areas, things like airfare, things like leisure and hospitality that we've been talking about in past months. So I don't think this is necessarily a view changing print for us or for the Federal Reserve, but it does bear close watching over the months to come if we see inflation in other areas besides just sort of the COVID impacted areas.
Yeah, so the core CPI index is a few percent above its trend growth going back from, if you draw a trend line from 2015 to 2019, extend that out, we're substantially above where we would have expected to be on the core. The contribution to the core, the biggest piece would be actually what people are calling the chip-related sectors that are having a hard time sourcing chips. So mainly that's cars, because cars are expensive or not available. Used cars are expensive. And so vehicle-related new used cars, rentals, you know, is 60% of the month-on-month gain, as it has been for the past 3 months. And you don't want to play the game, but like, well, aside for all the bad stuff, this is a good report. But I guess the point is that the vehicle-related stuff, the chip-related stuff, that is expected realistically to be transitory. There are some constraints and stuff is being allocated by cost instead of how they used to be. And those constraints are going to clear naturally, and you don't have to assume some sort of inflationary wage price spiral, because TSMC is just going to get more capacity and the chips will come back online and the vehicles will come back online.
Right. And I think to that point, what we'd be more concerned about is more durable inflation in things like in rent, for example, in housing, or I guess just in general, sort of
rent. Obviously rent not going up given housing prices.
Right. And that's something to watch over the next quarter or two. The other thing is the impact of, as we do diminish some of this labor slack that we've been talking about, the possible input of real wages rising and that being passed along to consumers as well.
Yeah, though the real wage number that came out with this CPI release shows real hourly earnings down to almost 2% year on year.
Exactly.
Which nobody wants that. There might be compositional issues with that. Like we should probably wait. I think we get the employment cost index at the end of the month. And that's only quarterly, but it does account for the compositions of jobs better than the other numbers do, but it's not going the direction we want. One thing that is interesting, though, I don't know if you looked at, so a few weeks ago, what everyone was all excited about was the five-year inflation swap. Have you looked at that recently?
I think it's moved up since this print about 10 basis points. So it really suggests that expectations are still pretty contained.
Yeah, so I think the point is more that it's below where it was 3 months ago, right? It's trading in a decent range and it's sort of the low end of that range, much higher than it was in 2000, but not impossibly above the Fed's 2% target. And in fact, which brings us to Chairman Powell's testimony. We are actually recording this on Wednesday, July 14th. Happy Bastille Day to all of our French listeners. And the chairman was on the Hill today giving his semi-annual report to Congress. Did you happen to catch what he said today, Nick?
Yeah, I think it was much ado about nothing. They're staying the party line. They do believe that inflation is transitory. He still sees the need for substantial further progress in the labor market. And I think in general, it sounds like they are staying the course. They've talked a little bit about tapering. He suggests that there isn't really a reason to do mortgage-backed securities first. And I think in general, he still sounds quite dovish to me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think some of the key quotes would be that inflation is up notably and will remain elevated over the coming months, that the Fed is prepared to adjust policy if inflation rose too much, and that basically his overall message of we're still a long way from achieving substantial further progress before, which is the precipitating event, which could lead to tapering of the current exercise in quantitative easing. And he did also say that we're going to tell you before we tell you, basically, too. So it's going to be like last time, we're going to taper in a few months. In a few months, they say, okay, we're going to start the taper in a few months. And then they start the taper.
Right. We're still sort of in the stage of talking about tapering. And I think at some point this year, we'll actually be talking about tapering.
Yeah. So turning from inflation, there's a small business survey that comes out monthly. And one thing I thought was interesting there is that the inventory satisfaction is off the charts in terms of how low inventories are. That's a number which typically doesn't move around very much at all in normal times, but it shows you just again, we're still dealing with the leftover detritus of the changed consumption patterns brought about by the pandemic. Another piece of news that came out in the last couple of weeks is the purchasing manager survey from the non-manufacturing sector. That number is strong, but well off its highs from a few months ago. It was around 64 for 3 months, and now it's back down at 60. Again, still a very high number, but not the sort of gangbusters number we saw a few months ago. Within that, there's a couple of interesting things. The backlog of orders is very high. Supplier deliveries is very low. Again, consistent with the bottleneck theme. But one number that's interesting is that the employment index dripped into contraction territory from nearly 60 down to below 50. Any thoughts on that, Nick?
Yeah, John, I think we might have an answer to that question. And we sort of alluded to it before in previous podcasts about why people are not entering the labor force in the numbers that we might expect. So Indeed.com, which is a job short search board, went out and surveyed those who are unemployed and not currently looking for work and asked them why. And the reasons most cited were COVID fears because their spouse was employed, financial cushion, and care responsibilities, meaning that they're caring for children most likely. At the bottom of that list, less than 10% of respondents said unemployment payments. So that's interesting. I think it suggests that as COVID moderates over the next month or so, or at least we hope it does, we might see more people jumping back into the labor market.
I think that that's right. And we would have thought we've seen a little boost in employment in the states which had cut off the extra benefits early. That's been in place 4 or 5 weeks now. But as far as I know, we haven't seen that.
Right. And I think the survey agrees with that the UI payments are not really the reason that people are not going back to work, at least for now.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if people want to take the summer off a little bit, right? It's been a long year. You're going to go back to the grind. When you have to go back to the grind, like put that off a little bit. I heard an employer talking the other day saying that one thing that their hotel owner and one thing they're trying to do to get workers in is give them more flexible hours because people don't necessarily want to work 40 hours a week. So we'll see if employers being more flexible helps. And I think we'll leave it there. If you would like still more economic news, you can download the Aster Research app from your favorite app store. You can look at the Aster website at asterinvestmentmanagement.com. There's charts, there's blog posts, there's hack issues of this podcast, or reach out to your Aster rep if you would like still more information. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, John.
To learn more about Aster Investment Management's research and strategies, please visit us on the web at www.asteriam.com or stay up to date by following us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and our app is also available on the App Store and Google Play. Thank you. Aster Investment Management, LLC is a SEC registered investment advisor. All information contained herein is for informational purposes only. This is not a solicitation to offer investment advice or services in any state where to do so would be unlawful. Analysis and research are provided for informational purposes only, not for trading or investing purposes. All opinions expressed are as of the date of publication and subject to change. They are not intended as investment recommendations.